Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
He's got that card in his wallet. No matter what.
You added a stop talking card to the clip.
And at some point, you might be in some conversation with him and he holds the card out. Or you might try to engage it. I mean, you see him in the hallway. Nope. The stop talking card comes up. Boom. That's it. I think it's possible the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, might want to say that to Elon Musk a couple of days ago when the Prime Minister stepped in and turned the entire world upside down. The Speaker, about an hour and 10 minutes ago, met the media very briefly, as you know. You've been all over this story all day and said, we are not going to have a shutdown. The deadline is tonight. Major, how are they avoiding the shutdown?
They don't know, and I don't know. You can say we're not going to have a shutdown, but until you have a legislative product, meaning a bill that can pass under the rules that you and your House Republican majority established, what is the rule? 72 hours to read the bill and consider it. So you can't jam a bill through without anyone knowing what's in it. Okay, that's a laudable intention. I understand it. Republicans want to hold themselves to that high standard or higher than normal standard. Fine. Well, that's a rule. Well, guess what? In the House, you can't pass something and ignore that rule unless you do what? You suspend the rules. Mm-hmm. What do you have to do in the House to suspend the rules? You need a two-thirds majority. Republicans don't possess a two-thirds majority. They barely possess a simple majority. So, follow with me now. If you can't pass it with your votes, who do you have to talk to? Democrats. And they're not, as I understand it, and as they have said publicly, they're still not read in on this thing, whatever it is, to avert a shutdown. And until you get Democratic buy-in, if you're going to change the rules, meaning suspend them, you need Democrats to vote for it. They're not going to vote blindly, and they're still angry as all get out that the deal they negotiated with the Speaker, with the Republican Senate leadership, over 7 or 8 grinding weeks, all blew up because Prince, Prime Minister, Broligarch, whatever you want to call him, what we know for sure is not one human being in this country ever voted for Elon Musk, scuttled the deal. And Democrats are, I believe, within their rights to be irked. And if they're going to vote for something, they need to be part of the deal.
Are they including the Senate in any of these conversations?
Hard to tell. I believe right now the barometer for the Senate, as House Republicans consider it to be, is not John Thune, the incoming Senate Republican leader, not Mitch McConnell, the outgoing Senate Republican leader, but J.D. Vance, the incoming vice president-elect.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever J.D. Vance says publicly, they sort of say, well, that must be what's okay on the Senate. If they know anything about Senate politics, they better have at least a couple of other sources of information. So right now it feels very insular. It feels very much within the House Republicans and what they think they can do. Now, if I would say this as a general proposition, the Senate knows that the House of Representatives is tied in all sorts of knots if they untie themselves, meaning if they get a bipartisan compromise and it passes the House under suspension, I believe it is highly likely the Senate would follow suit and follow suit in pretty quick order.
Do they need 60 votes
to Senate Democrats and enough Senate Republicans to do it? Pardon me?
Do they need 60 votes in the Senate or just the majority?
They would need 60 votes if there's a filibuster, if there's a blocking attempt, and that's
okay.
My point. I don't.
Yeah.
If Democrats are okay with it in the House, Democrats in the Senate would be okay with it, and they have said they want to avert a shutdown for all sorts of reasons. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, just think about this. Just think about one thing. Everyone at the airport, every TSA employee would have to work and not get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want your TSA people during the choking traffic jam of these holidays?
No.
To be working and knowing that they're eventually going to get paid, but they're not being paid.
Mm-mm.
I want my TSA employees at this time of year as happy as possibly they can be.
I also.
They work hard. They're super important. I want them on their toes and happy, not ground down by a government shutdown. And that flows through a lot of other important federal government functions that must continue, but must continue without pay. Now, they get back pay. I understand all that. But in the moment, it's an aggravating circumstance. I don't want my TSA personnel aggravated in this massive holiday season.
You can't predict the future. I can't predict the future. Only, by the way, the California psychics who advertise here, they can predict the future. That's a separate conversation. But if you're Elon Musk, Major, you're thinking, this is great. This is what it's going to be like the next 4 years. I'm going to have this fiefdom that I'll hang around with my pal, the president. But sometimes I'll just jump ahead of him and I'll get everybody to jump as high as possible because he is not one to shy away from his ego, his power. Ooh. And he saw how he changed everything. He's just, as you said, 7, 8, 9 weeks of negotiations. And Elon goes on one of those crazy tweet storms or post storms, whatever we're calling it now, and everything changed. And as you know, about 4 or 5 hours after Elon jumped on the story, then this other guy, who I think I call the president-elect, Donald Trump.
I'm sure it's an intoxicating thing. I'm sure it's right up there with a ketamine rush. I don't know. I've never taken ketamine, but we'll set that aside. As a matter of fact, I got a joking text from a couple of Republicans on Capitol Hill today saying, I guess we're going to go to Plan K. And I'm like, what is that, K for ketamine? And they laughed, you know, because they've already gone through Plan A, B, C, D. You follow me along the alphabet.
Right.
But look, I don't blame Elon. I blame the House Republicans who, at the first sign of any objection from Elon, ran for the hills. They gave him this power.
They curled up.
He didn't possess it. He didn't possess it. They handed it over to him. And mark my words. Listen, anyone who can hear my voice, House Republicans are going to have to disappoint Elon at one point or another to resolve this. There's no other way to do it, okay? Majority's too narrow. Can't do it. You're going to disappoint him. Why they did not disappoint him the very first time and said, guess what? Nobody voted for you. I'm the one who possesses this vote in this constitutional republic. I represent my citizenry. I will talk to my citizenry about my vote. I will hear you. I'll hear you out. I'll pay attention to you, but I'm not giving my vote over to you. They did that. And do you think he's going to be happy when they ultimately have to disappoint him? No. Mm-hmm. He's going to come back at them even harder the second or third time. Look, they had a choice. In my estimation, understanding legislative politics, understanding national politics, as I've come to, if you have to disappoint someone, disappoint them straight up the first time, look them in the eye, and then you can have a trustworthy, straight-up relationship from that point forward. If you don't, and you go run and hide, you will not earn their respect, and they'll run you to ground, and they'll run you ragged for as long as that relationship exists.
On a scale of zero, no involvement at all, to 10, maximum involvement, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm still going to answer it. How involved is Joe Biden, the president of the United States, in these negotiations right now?
Right now, at this point, he doesn't need to be. There's nothing for him to do. This is a House Republican problem of their own creation. I believe he was, and through the powers of the White House and his legislative team, pretty significantly involved in the compromise that Elon Musk, then President-elect Trump, scuttled. At this point, I think he could be a bit more vocal. I think he could be a little bit more explanatory and say, you know, we respect the election results. I went to the Rose Garden right after the election and said, we accept the results. We will engage in a smooth transition. But I will take this moment to remind the country, I warned you, Vice President Harris warned you, other Democrats warned you that chaos would ensue. I think that's what this looks like to me. I'm no expert, but I think this could be resolved. Here are the parameters in which Democrats can resolve it and at least fill in some of the voids that the White House is leaving either other Democrats to fill or this suspended animation to fill. I know in politics you let your struggling adversary continue to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You don't throw them a lifeline. But still, operationally, constitutionally, you're the president of the United States. You are invested in whether or not there's a shutdown right before Christmas. He could be much more publicly a part of this conversation than he has been. And that's consistent with the sort of I'm out of here
mm-hmm.
modality of this White House since Election Day.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Wall Street Journal yesterday, as you know, lengthy story about the president,
mm-hmm.
his ability to do the job, good days, bad days, shielding him, very atypical from other presidents with cabinet meetings, with one-on-one meetings, with cabinet officials. You're so plugged in, I can't believe you were surprised by any of this. What else do you think we're going to learn about Joe Biden and how involved or not involved he was over the last couple of years?
I don't know. I don't know how much more. I don't know how much more granular this needs to be. My good friend, someone you know, Tim Penny, did the Q&A session
mm-hmm.
when I was at the Minnesota Economic Club. And he asked me a question. He said, you know, how do you account for the media hiding President Biden's problems?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'm going to take issue with that word hiding. I said, look, we showed President Biden live on television many, many times. We showed replays of the president. We made it visible as much as the news required of it to be visible, the news he was making and how he was making it, whether it's presidential press conference speeches and the like. And the public was all along making determinations about his fitness for office. It showed up at polls all the time. Social media was an amplification device of that, sometimes overhyping, sometimes trying to cover up for it. But anyway, it was all in the fray there as well. I'm not a doctor. Nobody that I work with who covers the White House is a doctor. I don't know how to assess whether or not Donald Trump is losing it because he slipped trying to get into a trash truck in the campaign any better than I can when I see President Biden in certain circumstances looking less than he used to. We're not diagnostic people. We show people, prominent public officials, and let them make up their own minds. These Wall Street Journal stories have gone farther than anyone else's in trying to give some actual in the room, which we don't see, those of us who cover the White House, specificity about the good days and bad days of this president. I think if you asked any American a year ago, do you think the president of the United States has good days and bad days? I don't think they'd have any trouble giving you an answer on that question. So I don't think the media hid things or covered up for President Biden. Did the White House hyper protect him? Yes. That's something that we talked about. We would say the president hasn't had press conferences in this number of days. His schedule is lighter than this has been. We document those things that are documentable. And I may be arguing from a losing proposition. I don't think we hit it. I think the public was as tuned into it as it could be, and the issues related to speech patterns of candidate Trump, his muscularity, his walking around, we covered that too. Again, we didn't jump to conclusions. We're not allowed to jump to conclusions. We're not diagnostic people. We are not doctors in this space or any other space. What we're going to learn more about the president, I don't know. The country learned a lot more about Woodrow Wilson than it knew the last 18 months of his presidency. There's no comparison. I'm not suggesting there is. But there's a lot more you learn after a presidency than you do in the midst of it.
You have 60 seconds. Tell me the greatest Christmas gift of your life outside of the birth of your children.
There was a tricycle-type toy. If you look it up online, you can find it, called an X-15. The big wheel. It was sort of the metal version of the big wheel,
yeah.
But it was before that. It had pedals, it had a great seat, three wheels, big joystick in the middle. I got that when I was like 7 or 8. I basically ran the hard rubber tires off that bad boy. That was the greatest gift of my life as a kid.
That's pretty good. And then I'm told you still drive a similar one around the district. And it's
passing out his cards.
True fact. I drive a Mini Cooper that is a stick shift because I love to drive a stick shift, and I've learned it is an auto theft protection mechanism because most people who want to steal your car don't know how to drive a stick.
That is fair. I'm sorry I missed you the other day. I heard you were great. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everyone. Merry Christmas to everyone.
Take care, sir. The great Major Garrett at 52 past 2 on CCO.